Service. It's great to be able to worship together with you, and it sure is nice to have seen the sun the last few days. It sure makes a difference in these winter days. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're excited to have you, and we hope you feel welcome. Kids bins are available in the foyer, and a parent-supervised nursery is available for children 5 and under in the Sunday school area if this is of interest to you. Before we begin, I want to draw your attention to a few announcements in the bulletin. This afternoon at 2 p.m., we have our annual membership meeting. If you don't have your booklets yet, they're available in the back narthex area in both large print and regular print. And please bring your booklets with you this afternoon. Tonight, Pastor Tim is offering a 101 course for those looking to learn more about our Peace Church, or possibly looking to take the next step in faith. If this is something that you're interested in, please contact him for more information. And a note from Alf that the church choir will be practicing every Thursday in the month of February, starting at 6 p.m., so all are welcome to attend. And some of you have noticed that that the couches and chairs in the fellowship room have been replaced. They were getting quite worn and tattered over the years. They lasted us many years, but now it was time to update them. So the old ones are sitting in the front entryway there. So if anybody is interested in taking them or know of anybody who could use them, please just let the church office know, and they are available for anyone who needs them. And there's lots of other exciting things happening in our church and in the community in the coming weeks, so I invite you to take a closer look at the bulletin at your own leisure. As we begin, let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. We thank you that we can gather together in community this morning. We give you praise for all the many ways that you provide for us and work in our lives each and every day. Help us to always remember that your love endures forever. We thank you that you are our rock. You know us, and you are always here for us. Be with us this morning as we worship you. Open our hearts and minds to hear your amazing word as we sing together and hear your message. In your name we pray, amen.
Children, the music always sounds better when you come and help us. Can you come to the front and give us a hand?
Thank you.
Okay, take a little break, kids. The next song is sort of new, but not new, so I'm going to play through it once, okay? So listen to the rhythm as I play it through once, okay?
I tried coming up in practice to play, and they told me no. Well, good morning. I'm glad to be here with you today. My family isn't with me because my mother-in-law works at a church in the U.S., and they're celebrating her today for working there a whole bunch of years. So the kids are going to that because there's food. So that's really the secret to church, right? Attendance via food. Well, a reminder that after today, we do have a meeting at 2 o'clock. I hope all of you can make it there so we can gather together and discern together and celebrate together what God has done this past year and where God is calling us to. Now's our time for prayer requests. If you have any prayer requests, you can just raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to find you or joys to share. And that goes for our children, too. Children, you are allowed to enjoy the microphone and share as well. The microphone is finding its way from the back. Don't worry. It'll
Good morning. My aunt, Elizabeth Bergen, is now at home being cared for and temporarily waiting for full care. So we're hoping it happens soon, but she's in good hands and she's getting stronger, amazingly, but she's getting stronger. So I think we can still pray, but be thankful as well for all that God has worked with her. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
My brother-in-law, Ernie Newdorf, is in the hospital for almost a week now. And we sure would appreciate prayers for him. Thank you.
I thank you. All right, well, let's pray together. At the end of my time leading this part of the prayer, I'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer, and you are welcome to say that in whatever language is most comfortable and most honoring to your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to bless us with good things. Lord, help us to have hearts and eyes to acknowledge and to see all of the good that you continue to bless us with in this place. All of the good you continue to give us and bless us so that we can bless others. May we not hold on tightly to that which you give us, but instead use it in such a way that our neighbors can experience your love. We think of all of the people throughout the world experiencing pain, experiencing violence, warfare, sickness, addiction, hopelessness, loneliness. Lord, have mercy. work through your people here in this congregation and throughout the world so that we can start to see your kingdom come, your will be done in such a way that our neighbors have their prayers answered. Lord, as we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have is yours. Use what we have to offer to advance your mission through this community and this world. In all things, Lord, we pray that you would have our hearts, that you would give us soft, loving hearts after your own. As we think of those in our community who are hurting, in particular, Lord, we pray for Elizabeth Bergen, and we thank you that she's getting stronger, that she's been able to be home. Lord, continue to be with her and with the doctors and the people in her care. We pray that she would be able to have that full care soon. And we continue to pray alongside the family of Ernie Newdorf, who's been in the hospital. Lord, have mercy. Bring your healing touch in his life. Lord, as we think about this gathering meeting we have later today, we trust that you have been at work. We trust that your Spirit is at work, guiding us to something new. And we pray that we would be sensitive to that calling. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I now invite the children to come forward for children's story. All right, as we wait for a few of our friends to join us, I have something with me today. Can you, anyone tell me what I have? What is this? Marcus? It's a water bottle, right? What's inside my water bottle? Stephanie? Water, exactly. What do we use water for? What's water good for? Marcus? Drinking, yes, very important. We need to stay hydrated. What else? What else can we do with water? Mason? Oh, yes, you can use it to water plants, plant trees and flowers. Yeah, Marcus? I'll come back to you. Veronica? Oh, yes, yes, we can use it to plant seeds. What about in the summer? Sometimes there's a big hole that's filled with it. What do we do with that? Evelyn? A pool, we go swimming. What about in your kitchen? Sometimes you use water for something in the kitchen. For dishes or cooking, maybe? Cooking pasta? Well, water is really important. Do you have another one, Marcus? You think about it, you let me know. Water is really important. It does a lot of amazing things like we talked about. So today in our Bible story, we're going to learn about a passage from the book of Matthew where Jesus asks for water, but not water to drink or to cook or to go swimming or to plant a tree. He asks to be baptized in the water. Now, does anyone know what baptism is? That's a big word. Jane? Yes, when you get to join God's family, that's beautiful. Now, baptism, it can be a bit hard to explain, and Jane did a great job, but we can think about baptism as something that washes away our sins and helps us start fresh or start new. And now, this can kind of seem strange because we know that Jesus never sinned, so why would he need to be baptized? Well, John asked the exact same question. Do you guys remember John from last week? Aaron told us a bit about him. He was the guy who wore camel hair and he ate locust. Well, he baptized people in a river, and Jesus came to him one day and asked to be baptized. And John tried to send him away, but Jesus insisted, saying he needed to do it. And when Jesus was baptized, something remarkable happened, something really amazing happened. Heaven opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and the voice of God was heard, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased." Isn't that kind of amazing? Jesus, God's own Son, showed us that even though we are sinners and we make mistakes, we can be forgiven and we can be washed away clean. And God loves us no matter what. So next time you wash your hands or you drink some water or you water a plant, you can remember how God washes away our sins. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for washing away our sins. Thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
There is no one like you. There Good morning. This morning we continue with Matthew chapter 3, but we'll be reading from verses 11 to 17. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
Decisions, decisions, decisions. Our lives are marked with many decisions, many choices. Some of us have already had to make choices this morning. All of us. What will I have for breakfast? How awake will I choose to be this morning? Maybe I should be really awake and have a little more. Will I come to church? How will I feel as I go? Which church will I go to? What will I wear? How will I comb my hair? A reminder that some choices are made for us. Some of our choices in life are easier than others. I'd like you to think, what is the easiest choice you've ever made? If your spouse is elbowing you, that means they think that is the choice that was easiest. But we are also impacted by difficult choices. Sometimes where it's hard to tell the difference between one choice or the other, how can we even pick? How do we decide? How do we decide when it feels like there's so many possibilities without us knowing how things will go? Discipleship, that is us learning to follow in the way of Jesus in a way that lets us live out our lives in a Jesus-like love, is something that requires decisions. It's something that requires us to make a choice, to make choices continually. So today, as we continue to look at these passages in Matthew chapter 3 through 4, what we're calling trust the process of discipleship, those steps as we go, we look at this passage that moves us through fire and water. Now, a little bit of background context. So again, this continues our Christmas story. We went through the first two chapters of Matthew. We had Jesus' family now returning back to Egypt. And then we're introduced to this great character, John the Baptist, who we discover in another gospel is actually related to Jesus. This person who's very, very different out in the wilderness. And he has this message that he is preaching and that people are responding to. They're coming out to see him. This message of repentance. Where repentance has this meaning of change your mind, change the way that you think and see the world, but also repentance as coming home. Come back home to the one who made you and loves you. And this message of repentance is given the purpose, he's preaching it because the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. This kingdom of heaven, that's this hope that people had in the future that all of heaven's values, all of God's values would be made real here on earth. That instead of us being ruled by other people, that God would be the one who rules over all of us. And it's come near. It's not fully here yet, but it's entering into our midst. So what will we do about it? Let's look at the first two verses from today, verses 11 and 12 from Matthew chapter 3. It says, and this is John speaking, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All right, well, before we continue, let's dig a little bit deeper into some of the imagery going on here as we hear John the Baptist's message. So John's baptism is for the remittance of sin. It's this washing baptism that helps us to go and say, who I was before, I will be washed clean of, and now I'm going to turn around and go this right way. But he's saying that coming soon, there's somebody else. He's pointing to this messianic hope, this Christ figure, this one who will come and will usher in the kingdom, this one who will come and show us the way. And this person is going to come and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with that power that we see in the Old Testament, this Holy Spirit hovering above the water like a dove, recreating all of the chaotic waters into this good creation of God. And there, he is referencing very clearly some parts of the Bible. Now, what we forget is that we have 66 books of the Bible, and maybe we know it a little bit here and there, but the people of Jesus' time, the people that John the Baptist is speaking to, would have had large parts of the Old Testament, if not the entirety of it, memorized. And they very quickly will pick up on these words that are being spoken as referencing Ezekiel. And here, Ezekiel says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. Here he is prophesying what God is saying. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Referencing this hope from Ezekiel that maybe we sometimes miss in there. And then John talks about this fire. And sometimes when we see fire, we immediately start to think of the Holy Spirit, especially because he's speaking of spirit and fire. But John is very clearly speaking about a different kind of fire. He's talking about a fire of judgment. And we're seeing this imagery here right from Jeremiah. And I'll read Jeremiah 16:5-17. It says, and this is Jeremiah prophesying, who will have pity on you, Jerusalem? Who will mourn for you? Who will stop to ask how you are? You have rejected me, declares the Lord. You keep on backsliding. So I will reach out and destroy you. I am tired of holding back. I will winnow them with a winnowing fork at the city gates for the land. I will bring bereavement and destruction on my people, for they have not changed their ways. So this is your fire and brimstone, old school Baptist preaching that I grew up with, maybe. You can go and turn and follow, or there's going to be fire. This winnowing fork, that's that big kind of fork-like thing that's used that you go through the wheat and you help separate it out. I won't pretend to know about farming. I know just that much. But that's the imagery we're getting. We're separating out that which is useful and that which we're just going to burn away. And John already has in mind some of the chaff that will be burned away. If you remember how he spoke to the religious leaders, who warned you serpents about the coming fire? Let's continue in this passage now. Now that we kind of are understanding what John is speaking about, and let's see what happens when Jesus enters the story. Verses 13-17 of Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to be baptized by me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this
to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. So when we see heaven, sometimes we immediately think of this place far away. Heavens to them are the skies. The skies are opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Okay, let's dig a little deeper into this part here. We have Jesus show up again. The last time we saw Jesus, it was with his family. He wasn't making any of the choices. They had run away and then they had come back and settled in Galilee. Galilee is a way of thinking of the bad side of the tracks. Maybe that's how we think of people from Welland. No? Where would the bad side of the tracks here be? I'm Hamilton. Maybe we go with Hamilton. No one comes here from Hamilton. I see you, Shannon, from the bad side of the tracks. Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, things are a little bit different. John recognizes who he is, but doesn't recognize Jesus' mission in the way he thinks. What do you mean I'm to baptize you? That doesn't make any sense. Baptism is for sinners. You are here to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire for all those deserving. Why would you be baptized like any of these other sinners? And Jesus says, this is good for us to do because it will fulfill all righteousness. It's good for us to do because this is helping us keep in that good fruit, that new thing that God is recreating all around us. Fulfilling righteousness is what will be described later to Christians as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is going to produce good fruit in what God is doing. This will fulfill what God is doing, God's justice. This is a different justice than John was just talking about. We see Jesus here is making a decision to be baptized, a decision to be baptized like all those other people, a decision to be one who identifies with all of those people who have come for baptism. Jesus is making this decision to identify with us, not to keep himself at a distance as the one who has the Spirit, the one who's going to go and bring fire and brimstone or goodness over here. No, I am on the side of all of you. I will be baptized too. This will produce the right kind of justice that God is looking for in a very different way. Identifying not just with those people that maybe we have some compassion for as sinners, but even those Pharisees and Sadducees, those religious leaders that John had just been condemning later, earlier on, and which we'll see Jesus have some strong words for later, but some of them had come out looking to be baptized, looking for this hope, just like Jesus. It says that heaven is opened up. And the language here is referencing a lot of prophetic language. It's this idea that not just is there this bright light happening in the sky, but that God is revealing God's self to the people there in a new way, pulling back the veils that are hard to see through and showing who God really is. And who is God showing God's self to be as the Spirit of God coming down like a dove? This rich Old Testament imagery, which again we see right at creation. The Spirit of God hovering over the waters, these chaotic waters, like a dove. What is it that happens after those 40 days and 40 nights out on the waters? It is the dove that comes back saying to Noah that there is land, there is new creation. This is a very different type of judgment than what John was preaching, than what John expected. In fact, the Spirit is coming down like a dove, putting judgment on the way we view this fire and brimstone judgment and saying, no, judgment is something that recreates, that brings new life here through this one, through Jesus, who God says is my Son, and I am well pleased with the way he's doing things. You see, the trouble for us is if we're honest, Or if I'm honest, if you're anything like me, I think I often lean more towards the side of judgment. I like things to be made right. I like when bad things happen for there to be consequences. If someone is speeding 10 kilometers more than me on the highway, they should be pulled over. I'm only 20 kilometers over, so that's okay. We like this idea of judgment for others and grace for us. There's something about us that enjoys being the ones pointing the finger instead of being the ones who are having those fingers pointed at us. Judgment for them, this righteousness being filled out. But for me, grace. For me, a lighter, kinder version. There is something about being human that enables us to create societies of us and them. Us who are the people maybe who like and love and act the same way as we do, who like those same things, and them, the people who are doing it wrong. And if only them were like us, man, wouldn't the world be a better place? Grace for us, judgment for them. And we very much have our understanding of faith divided into this magical dividing line of the people who get to go to heaven and the people who are going to go to hell and get what's coming to them. And often, if we're honest, we think in our hearts that we can discern who those people are, as if we're the ones who get to choose how judgment works. And here we're being confronted, just as Jesus makes a decision, we are constantly being confronted with how we will decide. Will our hearts decide as the ways of our hearts have decided for millennia? Will we choose us? Will I choose me? Or will I choose you? And when given that choice, we're often going to choose me over you. There's something about us that creates these barriers between us and other people. In this image here, we see civilization, which has a closed door and all these people hiding at the top of a castle. And quite frankly, that's what most of our churches act like. Like we are the holy civilization up and away from people. And if only people came to our doors, knocked long enough for us to let them in and climbed up all those stairs, maybe then they could be good like us. But this is a passage, again, filled with hope because Jesus enters the scene. We get to see what the kingdom of God coming near looks like. It looks like Jesus. It looks like identifying with other people. It looks like pushing back on that us and them dichotomy, that us and them system that puts us against each other. And instead, Jesus comes in and says, no, it is us. Wherever you draw the line, I will cross it and be on that other side. Let us draw a bigger circle together. This reminder that in Jesus, while the world will push us towards this us or them decision, Jesus says, whenever it is us or them, my way is that it is us for them. John the Baptist, who comes with this fantastic message that people are responding to, he is this prophetic voice. He is someone who identifies Jesus by sight as the one he's waiting for. But he doesn't understand yet what the judgment of God will look like. He thinks it's this fiery version. And instead, in meeting Jesus, in being encountered with this person, he has to change his mind. Because Jesus is the one who identifies with sinners, who invites them to come alongside him, to change their mind and turn around, as he goes to them instead of waiting for them to come to him. John the Baptist has his own moment of repentance and choice here. And we'll see later in the Gospels, John will even send people asking Jesus, who he has identified as the Messiah, it's like, are you really the one we've been waiting for? Or should we wait for someone else? Because I'm not understanding what's going on. I'm trying to, please tell me. That the fires of judgment are being judged by the dove of recreation. That the fires that John is preaching of are being converted in a different way. It's not just this water and fire that we are being baptized into to separate us, but it will end up being in that early church, the fire of the Holy Spirit that will change our hearts and give us that passion to go out and love in another way, in a Jesus way, in a way that follows how Jesus loved other people. Because Jesus is not just the embodiment of who God is. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. He is the embodiment of what loving looks like. John is right to preach a message of repentance. Turn around from that destructive life you're living and go towards this life that leads us to life, that leads us to goodness. But what John doesn't have yet is the example of Jesus. And when it is Jesus involved in that turning around, then it changes us from this baptism of just washing us away from past sins and promising to do something good to a baptism that changes the entirety of who we are. Sometimes we get mistaken looking to Jesus. Jesus comes and judges all that is powerful, all that is violent, all that is hating, all that is angry in our world. He takes all of that on himself. Sin is not defeated on the cross. The sin of crucifixion is judged on the cross and found lacking because Jesus shows sin is defeated, death is defeated through resurrection, through new life in him. So what does this mean for us? What do we do with this passage here? Well, we are seeing what discipleship looks like in how Jesus himself shows us. And discipleship does start with that choice. A choice we are all confronted with. Will we follow or will we not? Will we turn around? How do we do that? And baptism is this fantastic way of following in the footsteps of Jesus. Identifying with others, making this one commitment, yes, I do want to follow, I do believe enough, and now I will do that same thing that Jesus did. I will die in his death, and I will come up to new life in that resurrection power. I will live that out in how I love my neighbors as Jesus loved. Because Jesus calls us not just to wait until we are a certain age where we can make that decision and get baptized and go with water and go on with our lives. Jesus is calling us to have our hearts baptized. To have a baptism that goes beyond water into that fire that changes us. That is what the baptism of the Spirit will look like. It will look like a changed heart, a changed life. A baptism by fire that moves us to be passionate about the things that Jesus is passionate about. A change that changes us to be like Jesus. To have our minds changed. To return home. To follow this new way of life. Changed so that we can love others like Jesus loves. Changed to identify with the thems we make, with the enemies we discern, loving even them, living a life that cares for them as well. We are invited to be a part of the new creation, this kingdom of God that is sprouting up all around us, this baptism of Jesus that shows the creative power of the Holy Spirit show up in a new way, reminding us that new life is possible, that we can choose to follow that way through the power of the Spirit. Following Jesus is not a one-time decision or one-time prayer that changes us forever. It starts with a decision. But it is a decision that we make each day. Will we prayerfully be sensitive to the calling and the leading of the Holy Spirit? Will our hearts continue to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, by that fire, that love of Jesus? What will we choose? Our actions will tell the truth about our choice. How we love or do not love, like Jesus, will tell the truth about how we decide. So friends, what will you decide today, tomorrow, and each day after? May the Holy Spirit lead you to new life. May you choose to follow the love of Jesus. And may you experience that fire and passion again, that new hope we have in the resurrection power of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Jesus, thank you that you come to us, that you are a God who understands, who loves us where we are, and calls us to follow you into your love. Help us, Lord, to choose to follow your ways. May we hear and experience the call of your Spirit in such a way that our neighbors experience your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tim, I'd like to invite you to add some percussion to the next song, please. You can do it from there, or you can come up here.
Receive the blessing, friends. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you experience how loved you are by your Creator. And may that love spill out into the rest of your week. Go in God's peace. Amen.